I think I'm supposed to hang out with them this weekend. We're going to go to the Valero Open.
Look at Joel. Is he going to show up on his one wheel, or are you gonna be pushing him around?
I don't know. He might get there faster on his one wheel because everybody's heading out that way for the eclipse. So.
Oh man. Yeah. The San Antonio airport is going to be a mess this weekend.
Yeah. And 281 heading out to the Hill Country is going to be a nightmare. So he might roll up on his one wheel.
Awesome. All right. More on that soon. Let's see. Let's let our esteemed guests in. So I'd like to welcome to BeerNet Radio, Carrie Yonker, Executive Vice President of Bell's Brewery. And together with New Belgium, Bell's will be, I believe, the whole crew together will be bumping up against about 2 million barrels this year. Crazy. So, but you're also bucking industry trends. I think Bell's was up about 7% in scans last year, which is sort of the exact inverse of craft's overall trend. And you've got some big news lately. You've just announced the popular seasonal Oberon is back, of course, and you're expanding offshoots of the Hearted family, of course, named for your longtime flagship, Two Hearted. So welcome. Happy Thursday, Carrie.
Thanks for having me, y'all. It's always so good to be back with you.
Yeah. Well, and we'll have to have you at the summit soon, too. But we'll talk about that soon.
Yeah, sounds great.
Yeah. I mean, we're slumming it at the Breakers next year. So, darn.
Yeah, I suppose I could, make some space for that.
January in Michigan or Florida, right?
Right. Yes.
Where to start? I mean, you guys just announced a new group CMO, right? Rebecca Dye. Is it Yonis Shonis?
Yes. Good
okay.
job.
It's a tough one, but I figured it out. So how are you guys digging in with her, right? Is she like learning the DNA of Bell's right now? And how are you helping her do that?
So, well, she hasn't started yet officially. Okay. So she starts in another 2 weeks. She has, certainly visited with us. She was guest VIP at Oberon Day last week. So she was very excited about that. And she's originally from the Midwest, so very familiar with Bell's and super excited to be able to work with the brand. And I'm really excited to be able to work with Rebecca. My impressions have been great. Her and I get along really well hit it off right out of the bat, and I think are a great complement to one another. And it's exciting to see someone who has such a familiarity with Bell's be able to sort of take that over and understand how important that is, particularly in the Midwest.
Right. Very cool. Yeah. We got a chance to chat with her a couple weeks ago too. She seems like
brilliant.
She fits in, right? Like she's very introspective, very candid. She doesn't just give you the company line, like, oh, what am I supposed to say here? Like she's real. So yeah.
Yep.
It seems like a good fit. So let's talk about what we kind of hinted at earlier, your great trends. So we know that 2023 ended really well for you guys. Can you share kind of what drove that and then maybe give us a peek into Q1 of 24?
Sure. So I think as we think about what drove growth for us last year is we finished our national distribution footprint. So that was a big milestone for the Bell's team that we've been working at for years, even prior to the New Belgium partnership. So it felt really good to plant that flag in Hawaii as our last state last year. So that felt really good. The addition of Hazy Hearted and Hearted variety packs in particular really, outpaced our expectations. And then our, highly anticipated launch of the, fall winter season, Oberon seasonal, Oberon Eclipse, we depleted almost 2.5 times more than anything else that we had ever had in that spot. So it was very clear fans were ready for the seasonally appropriate Oberon to be had in the fall and winter.
Very cool. And then for the Hearted variants, those are getting bigger distribution this year, right? I think Hazy Hearted is going further and the Big Hearted is going to Great Lakes region this year.
Yep, you got it. So Hazy Hearted made its national debut, as the calendar rolled over this year. We're seeing great placements there, some demand for some packs, even some ask of some pack sizes we hadn't originally planned on. So we're kind of reevaluating that at the moment. And then Big Hearted is already outpacing Hazy's launch, at least in the Great Lakes for us, which is awesome. It's a really drinkable Imperial. So fans are really loving that. The 19.2s are really doing well for us, which is, C-Store is not brand new to the Bell's world, but certainly the power that New Belgium brings to the C-Store channel and leveraging that with our Bell's brands has been phenomenal.
And then I'm curious, I mean, that kind of begs the question, you're talking about C-stores in New Belgium. Is Big Hearted kind of your answer to Voodoo Ranger?
I don't know that I would say it's our answer to Voodoo
Okay.
Ranger. I would say it is our, you know, they're very different beers and looking for very different audience. You know, we're really looking for sort of that craft enthusiast. That's what Bell's does really well, is sort of make the best styles of each style, if you will. That's what I always feel like we hang our hats on when we took time to make a hazy. It's one of the best hazies you're ever going to drink. You know, same thing for this, you know, Imperial and the drinkability of it. But what we're really trying to do is also sort of build out that shelf and brand block and make sure that in the way that Voodoo has, you know, 5-6 facings at a C-store, we're really looking to have our Bell's share of the C-store. And so that is certainly why you see the higher ABV, Two Hearted, basically.
Well, we were talking about the Hearted extensions. Can we talk a little bit about the Oberon line extensions?
Yes.
And, you know, last year it was the kind of flavor variant variety pack. And this year you have the Shandy variety pack. Can we expect something new from the brand each year?
I think we're continuing to explore. Most of our innovation will stay within sort of that Hearted and Oberon family. We're also trying to be really mindful of the fact that distributors, you know, share of mind is precious. And if you're going in and asking for too many things, you're not going to get the focus that you want. So we were really excited about Shandy, excited to see how that does. It got wonderful reception at Oberon Day. We were able to taste some key retailers on it and, you know, with 6,000 fans there that day also to help give us feedback as well. So that I think is our first Bell's attempt at anything in, you know, so it's just a half a step away from beer, I feel like Shandy is.
Yeah.
So it fits our ethos really well. And they're delicious and they're modern flavors, right? Like most of our, you know, younger consumers are really seeking sort of that modern flavor. And this is our answer to that. But we continue to be really mindful about, because they are legacy brands. And so we continue to be really mindful about how far and how fast do we want to be able to extend those brands. So maybe you will see new Hearted variants inside the Hearted variety pack. That would be an absolute must for us. And we continue to really use that to trial, like Cold Hearted, for example, and Black Hearted have done wonderful if you're checking Untappd and, you know, some of just like the, you know, inklings you can get from consumers early on. Those are both performing really well.
Yeah. Can you tell me what you learned, sticking on Oberon for a second, you tell me what you learned from the last year's variety pack, and will anything kind of stick around longer from there? And then how y'all landed on Shandy this year?
Yeah, so I think we've done Oberon variants, particularly close into home and at our own pub for a long time, right? So much of the flavors that you saw come in the Oberon sort of beer flavored variety pack, if you will, last year were things that were familiar to us and things we had, you know, for the most part already made. And when you talk about, and you'll see that, yes, you'll see it in kegs and specialties and, you know, at great accounts, you'll continue to see those Oberon variants. We did an Oberon, an orange vanilla, I think like a creamsicle. It's delicious and is getting rave reviews. That's the one that we took a little larger into a little bit larger, particularly draft distribution at Oberon launch. And so that one's doing really well. We launched it at our general store, sold out really quickly. So we're going to continue to play with Oberon and flavors. That's really our playful fun brand. And then as far as Shandy goes, you know, what we did is we took a look at, you know, what are those styles that are really selling well in the Midwest, like in the place that we really have strong brand presence, what is, you know, what's doing well. And Shandy is a flavor that surprisingly, after research, I will tell you, I was surprised by this. I had to like make my marketing team check the math. I was like, are we sure?
Yeah.
a bunch of younger drinkers drink Shandy, like a bunch of younger age drinkers, particularly in the Midwest, drink Shandy. And, you know, there's only a few players and we have strong brand equity. And we feel like particularly the flavors that we have and the Oberon equity, it's really, truly set up to be successful.
Yeah. How are those, you know, extending, how's that affecting overall Oberon trends?
Yeah, I mean, so far Oberon trends are holding strong, if not improving. We did move Oberon launch back a year, so there's some funky comp stuff going on as you think about, you know, those 7 days matter, particularly with a brand as large as this is at launch. There's really nothing else like it in the country, you know, that launches with, you know, there's literally just 8 to 10 pallet drops at some of our retailers, you know, on a store, just dropping the pallets. Like there's nothing like it. And it's crazy to be a part of. And but we're seeing strong trends from OG Oberon. Like we were, you know, again, we took a long time to decide that we were going to be intentional about having something off, you know, an Oberon off season, if you will. And fans really resonated with that. And we were curious, you know, what would the excitement look like as we brought back OG Oberon, as we call it? What was that going to look like? But there has been no waning of excitement from the fans. Biggest Oberon day we've ever had. Both, you'll see it in scans in a few weeks. And, you know, certainly from an on-premise standpoint, I mean, we literally sold 105 half barrels of Oberon or Oberon variants in our pub in one day.
Jeez.
Wow. How far do you guys distribute Oberon Draft?
So Oberon Draft is national. You can get Oberon
Okay.
Draft nationally, Eclipse as well. And the Shandy we will keep pretty close into home, barring some, you know, key account commitments we've made there. But we really like the ability to be able to test close into home and check our rate of sale with our where our strong consumers are, and then, you know, really decide on a launch plan post that. That's what you've seen as us from a trend with our hearted launches and those things as well.
Interesting. Wow. That's really interesting. And I know that obviously that wheat space, there aren't a ton of big players in there. So it's a
Nope.
nice spot for you guys to play in.
It is.
So I'm curious, I think the release said that Oberon is like a third of your sales, right? Even
It
though it's
is.
seasonal. Is that, I mean, but is that a blessing or a curse? Like in terms of production, is it challenging?
It is. I mean, it
Yeah.
really is. It is. When you think about where most breweries sort of have that lull in the first, you know, you turn the calendar and you're done with your seasonals and you know, get your real big, you know, national launch off the plate and you sort of have this little bit of a lull that you fall into, you know, end of January, beginning of February. That is when we are ramping everything up to be able to deliver the kind of volume that we're talking about at launch. And it is all hands on deck, weekends, overnights. Distributors coming in, you know, extending dock hours. It's really quite the circus, you know, the well-organized circus to be able to launch. You know, someone hearkened it to sort of an Apple product launch, you know, inside of our industry. And that really resonated with me when you think about the lines outside the doors and the people who take off work to be able to, you know, attend. Like it, we feel really fortunate that our fans love it as much as we do.
Very cool. And then, you know, talking about the Shandy research and putting that in the Oberon space, do you think that's sort of as far as you guys will take anything into an almost FMB space with, you know, your craft DNA like you talked about?
You know, I think for now, yes. I wouldn't say we would, you know, I never say never is what I would say, Jen. But I think for now, we're really focused on sort of those craft styles and continuing to sort of launch in things that fit inside that ethos for us. Shandy's that for, again, that first play, and people are responding really well. And so I think that's giving us a little bit of confidence and certainly broadening the innovation sort of conversations as we think 2 and 3 and 5 years out.
And then I would assume if Shandy does well, you could eventually take that national or.
Good. Yep. Or we could pull it out of a variety, you know, it's in a variety pack only, a 12 pack variety pack only this year. So certainly you could pull out some of the fan favorite flavors. Do we keep the variety pack? Those are sort of all the active discussions we're having right now as we think about, you know, what our 2025 plans will be, is, you know, making positive assumptions about the early reception we've seen for Shandy, you know, how big of an investment and how big do we want to take it next year? Certainly a very active conversation.
Got it. I'm curious, going back to draft a little bit, what are you guys seeing there? Because, you know, we've had a lot of sort of mixed reviews of draft, right? On one hand, it's like, oh, it's 2 million barrels under what it would have been post-COVID. And then, but then apparently we grew in dollars. So what's going on with draft? What are you guys seeing?
So, I mean, we have a strong draft legacy. You know, prior to COVID, draft was 40% of our business. So, I mean, way over-indexed from even craft, you know, many craft brewers our size in draft. So, we took a large hit during COVID, certainly. And what I will say is we continue to gain share pretty steadily on the draft side of things. I mean, you think of, they're really, in my mind, certainly biased opinion, there is nothing better than Fresh Two Hearted on draft. Like it is one of the world's best beers, and you drink that on draft, and you think about it, really fits a lot of occasions for those on-premise drinkers. And that's the story we're going in and talking to accounts about, right? It fits with your steak at a steakhouse, it fits at your burger bar, you know, like it really is very versatile. So we continue to make good strides in draft, and it's a large focus for us because we have the familiarity with it. We have the capabilities. We know how to do it. We know how big it can be. So I think where maybe I've seen some other suppliers really given up a little, if you will, we are tenacious about draft and really feel like our beer in particular does well there.
And kind of leading with two-hearted on draft.
Leading with two-hearted on draft, yes.
Yeah. And I'm assuming you haven't gotten back to that 40-60 mix just yet.
No, we have
Yeah.
not. But we're just, I mean, we're, 25,
Yeah. Okay.
2025, which
Yeah.
is
So that's,
still pretty significant,
yeah.
considering, and that feels really great.
Yeah, cool.
Well, we were talking about kind of pushing a little further into flavor with Oberon. Are there any other spaces that you're kind of moving into or that you're thinking about moving into, whether it be non-alc, spirits, anything
Yeah, I
beyond
think
beer?
hard to ignore the non-alc trends, right? Hard to, sit as a, leader of a brand and ignore the non-alc trends. And we do have those capabilities in-house. So I think there's a little bit of playing around with that. But also, if you look at where non-alc is consumed in the country, it's not, unlike Shandy, it's not the Midwest, right? It's on the coasts. It's on the coasts of both of the United States, which is not where our brewery is. So we're mindful of that as well. I think we're really looking at that more as a how do we have a responsible option, drinking option on our own premise at this point, and in very, very early trial phases there. And then as I think about other places that we're looking, I think, pilsners and lagers have made a real resurgence. That's a beer. We've done some work on lager for the lakes, and doing some exploring work in sort of that lighter, easy drinking space is also a space that we're spending a significant amount of effort at the moment. So nothing, there's not a crazy RTD coming from Bell's next year. But we're paying attention to the styles and spaces that we see consumers gravitating to inside of beer.
Gotcha. Well, speaking of RTDs and not having a brewery on the coast, you all do have Daleville. Do
We
y'all
do.
do any production or any work there yet, or is that just kind of solely for New Belgium right now?
So right now that is New Belgium and New Belgium only. But Daleville opens up a ton of capabilities for us as, between Bell's and New Belgium, they really have, we can make anything there for the most part. But all Bell's beer is made in Kalamazoo still like it always has been.
Gotcha.
Nice. Great. And I'm curious just to not to belabor it, but just to dig in a little bit more, obviously every brewery has to innovate every year. It's just kind of table stakes. So how do you guys kind of work with New Belgium in that realm, in terms of maybe we do this, is it complementary? What are you guys gonna do? What do we do, right?
So I'm really pleased with how that has come together. So we have, we've done the full integration of the teams, right? Sales teams and marketing teams, but the brand teams remain separate, right? So we have a brand team in Kalamazoo dedicated to our Bell's brands, and they work in concert with, sort of the New Belgium brand teams, if you will, but they report up through sort of Rebecca, what will be Rebecca separately. And I think what's been great is we've been able to look at different pillars, right? Traditional craft and new wave craft, it's sort of this blended fourth category space, and really do the work to say which brand belongs where and which beers belong where, so that we can have, as a full portfolio, the right offerings for each, each consumer, each account type. So I'm proud of that intentionality that we've put behind that innovation work where, it's not Sean or Rebecca saying to Scott, who's my marketing manager, for example, and I like, well, this is what Bell's is going to do. It's sort of like, hey, here's what we think. Here's what, we do our own consumer research. We're looking at that. We're bringing that to the table in conjunction. And then we're sort of comparing notes, if you will. And from there, we're looking at it from like Shandy makes sense for Bell's. Nope, that's sort of a no-brainer, for example, right? But if you look at, Tropic Force and Tea on the New Belgium side, that fits that ethos, that brand, that consumer. So it's been great to be able to sort of when we go to our distributors and we give the message of like we have something for each consumer and each channel, and that's how we approach it as we get past that innovation stage into the launch stage.
Yeah, that's interesting. So it sounds like you guys have done some segmentation work. What is New Wave Craft?
Yeah, so I that's fair. Fair question. I think as we think about new wit, that's sort of like flavor forward, right? So beer, but flavor forward, Shandy fits into that for us.
Yeah.
Like that's something I would squarely put in sort of this new wave craft. Two-hearted, you know, very traditional craft style, whereas something like Shandy fits into, you know, that space. And then if you push, you know, you go one step further beyond what we would call new wave craft, and that's where a Tropic Force, for example, or Juice Force would sit.
Got it. And then like one step further is Beyond Beer or fourth
One
category?
Step further is Beyond Beer for us. Yep.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's so hard. Like I don't envy you having looked at the craft space for like the last 15 years and where it's gone and how that consumer has just, we don't really know still what that consumer is doing quite, but I guess you guys do because you're doing pretty well. So, so yeah, Carrie's like, no comment. I'm not sharing our secrets anyway. I do. I'm curious. So kind of going back to older school craft, obviously Hop Slam is a huge brand, you know, such a halo brand for you guys.
Yes.
One of those special releases, right? And you've moved where it sits kind of when it releases. Is it, does it still have the same draw that it always did? And I'm curious, like, are the margins still good there too?
Yeah. So, I would say when we moved seasonality, right, to sort of put it in, what I refer to as sort of our gluttonous season of eating and drinking around the holidays. That's really where a brand like Hop Slam sits. So it does have a really strong following. But moving into that seasonal created more competition for Hop Slam. And it still has sort of that really niche cafe, you know, like craft drinker cachet, if you will. And it's just a much smaller part of our portfolio. So margins are still good there. Honey is expensive, however.
Yeah.
So we brew that beer with honey, like tankers of honey show up at the brewery. And that's a big check we write for those, for example.
tankers of honey.
I'm that's not even cool. joking. Yeah, tankers cool. of honey.
Yeah.
As opposed to like, you know, liquid sugar, sucrose, like we're, you know, being. Yeah. So we never, you know, started from that brand where it was a very margin driven beer. That wasn't really the goal for that beer. And it doesn't remain the goal, but we haven't changed the recipe for it. I think there's, you know, we'll continue to look at optimization and those pieces, but I do see Hop Slam as a place where, as we're looking at being intentional about Two-Hearted and Oberon and how fast and how far, Hop Slam is a curious space for me as I think about like what else, you know, is there more we could be doing with that brand in particular?
Yeah. Yeah. It's also kind of a little more cartoony, has always been a little more of a cartoony kind of.
People love that, like, you know, dad shoes, you know, like your lawn mowing dad shoes guy being slammed by a hop. They really love that image.
It's a vibe. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Carrie, the last time we talked to you, I think you were in Fort Collins. How often do you all get together and, you know, do you trade Fort Collins to Kalamazoo sometimes? And are you just getting down to work? Are you just hanging out? What do these meetups look like?
Yeah. So most of the time I'm here and we're doing, you know, executive team work, right? Strategy work, 3 to 5 year work. We're looking at business plan pieces. We're doing we're finalizing innovation. I'm here next week again for distributor council, for example. So most of those things are housed here in Fort Collins. It's like my second home now. I really love this city. I've fallen in love with this town quite a bit over the last couple of years. I'm here minimum probably once a month, sometimes maybe a little more than that. And yeah, they're coming to Kalamazoo as well. I would say mostly when it's beautiful in the summer, right? Michigan's gorgeous in the summer. Great Lakes are wonderful. So yeah, they're, you know, we hosted distributor council in our big company meeting last year in Kalamazoo in September. We had everybody in town and it was really great to be able to introduce sort of nationally all of our distributor network and all of our, you know, sales and marketing teams, because not everybody had been to Kalamazoo yet. So it was a real privilege to be able to have everyone and show off our brewery and sort of our hometown.
Well, just one more sort of big picture from me, kind of jumping off that question from Jordan. You know, you've been at Bell's for more than 20 years, right? Worked your way up. You're one of the first employees. When you think back to the Bell's of those days versus now, you know, you guys have, I mean, you know, you've been EVP for 3 years now. That's a big change. Sean is now CEO. You've got a new CMO. You've got the Kieran piece. You've so many different things. Does it feel in some ways like a completely different company, but I'm sure it also in some ways feels like the same company? Can you kind of speak to that?
Sure. I think You know, I'm the kind of person who really likes change, thrives on it. So me, for me personally, I really look for the opportunities in that. And not without its hard work and COVID and selling a business and integrating a business. I will not lie about like how heavy that is, you know, from an emotional lift, just from a physical amount of work lift, you know, certainly a lot of work. What I appreciate is that we have left behind the things that don't serve us anymore from, you know, early craft days, if you will, and have really been much more intentional about who are we moving forward and the space that we have to play. I think about like the marketing investment, for example, when you ask about trends for us, some of that is truly because of the sort of brand vision and the level of investment that you see, you know, both parent company, but also specifically Sean and team wanting to make in brands and the priority that we place on that. And that isn't the same philosophy we had at Bell's, for example, but we're seeing real solid results from that. So I like that we are sort of pushing beyond maybe what we thought was possible for both the brand and our people and our capabilities. I think that that evolution is important and frankly, a really important part of our success when you think about what's different. You know, when I get asked that question all the time, what are you doing different? Too Hard is the same, right? And it's like, yes, but we put a campaign together. We know the consumers we're speaking with, right? We know exactly the accounts that make sense for us. We've done that work. We have a broader set of resources to bring to the table, you know, data and all of that. To be able to really hone in on where those opportunities sit for our brands, that part's really exciting. So I like that we've held on to things like Oberon Day, and we still have Puppy Fridays at the brewery, and like none of that feels corporate, right? If you will. And the brewery is still a really fun place to be. And we're doing more work. We're working harder. We're making more beer. We're making different kinds of beer. And for the most part, I see everybody feeling excited and on board with that. And is there a little nostalgia for, you know, hour paid lunches, you know, doing not a whole lot of anything and early beer drinking on the line and whatever else, right? Like, sure. And we're a grown up big company now.
Somebody gets paid lunches. We don't get lunch at all. Just kidding. I mean, that's just the nature of the beast. But anyway, well, I think that was everything from me, Carrie. You got anything else, Jay?
No, Carrie, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much
Feel the
for taking
same
the
way.
time.
It's great to see both your faces.
You too, you too. And you know, it's been too long since I've been to Kalamazoo and Fort
Love to
Collins.
have you.
So yeah, I would love to come soon. Yeah.
It
So we'll do
would sure mean a lot. We'll put the invite out as we do, but sure mean a lot to see you all at like an Oberon Day next
Yeah.
year. I'd
Yes.
love for you to be able to experience that magic.
That
Let's
would
do
be
it.
a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thank
Awesome.
you, Carrie.
All right. Have a good rest
See
of your
ya.
day.
You too. Cheers.
Bye.